Yo, I think Jordan Peterson might be dead. Nobody's talking about this.
Nobody's talking about him?
He's been out of the public eye for how long? His daughter said that he supposedly was black mold poisoned or something. And we haven't seen or heard anything about him in months? Has it been over a year? Like, he could be like in a fucking coma again. Nobody knows.
RIP.
Oh, Michaela posted. Oh, this was 2 months ago. Don't count this as an official update, but Dad is finally feeling better. Praise God. Thank you for the prayers. I feel like I can smile again. Tentatively. Wow. And then this is another update. Dad's back. Oh, wait. This was 3-ish months ago.
Hey guys, brief update on my dad, because I know a lot of you have reached out and asked and have been waiting for one, as have we, obviously. I don't have a lot to say because everything's been slow. He's still very unwell, but he's not in the hospital. I'm seeing him every day for hours, which is really nice. We're working with great specialists and giving him more time to recover. I'm hopeful he will recover with time. When I posted the last video, I didn't know if he would recover at all. It was really scary, and I'm hopeful now, but it's still early on, and he's still quite unwell, and we're still really not sure what's going on, whether it's an immune system issue, neurological, both. So I wanted to give an update that was like, things are really bad, but they're not as bad as they were a month ago or 2 months ago. So that's the update. I wish things would just go back to normal, but they're not there yet. Thank you so much for your prayers. We need them. I'll let you guys know as soon as I can if anything changes. Hopefully he's on the road to recovery. As for me, I haven't really been on
so vague
line, or at least posting, because the situation is stressful and sad, and I don't really want to get on a camera and pretend everything's okay. So I've basically been offline really since last February with the pregnancy, then Audrey, my 7-month-old now, getting incredibly sick, then Dad getting sick. Audrey, on the other hand, is doing really well. Praise God for that. We still aren't sure what happened. Like, she almost died from...
How are all these people so sick when they have the secrets to health? They're all meat diets and no vaccines and everything else. Don't they have the... Notice how all these people have all these weird fucking medical conditions.
A heart issue, even though her heart is normal. She was diagnosed with idiopathic pulmonary hypertension. And that seems to have been a one-off freak incident.
Fuck. What do those words mean? Idiopathic pulmonary hypertension. Hypertension is high blood pressure. Does idiopathic mean without a cause? Idiopathic refers to a disease, condition, or symptom that arises spontaneously from an obscure... Okay. And then... Pulmonary, how does this have to do with the heart? Pulmonary hypertension. Can your lungs be hypertensive? Idiopathic pulmonary hypertension is a rare, progressive, and fatal disease of unknown origin characterized by high blood pressure in the lungs. Oh, okay. Leading to vascular remodeling and right heart failure. How many hearts do you have? I'm guessing the right side of the heart. What is vascular remodeling? Does your lung like redesign itself? Or is it the dynamic, structural, and functional modification of blood vessel walls involving changes in dynamic cell growth, migration, and matrix composition? Oh, damn.
And that issue, even though her heart is normal, she was diagnosed with idiopathic pulmonary hypertension. And that seems to have been a one-off freak incident that hasn't repeated. So, like I said, praise God for that. Jury's still out if there's a long-term problem that they just can't find. I'll probably be paranoid about it until she's 20. But so far, at least that's under control. The plan for content is to start the podcast up in January. I've recorded 2 episodes that I would really like to release and catch everyone up on the last year of what my family's been going through. I plan to do a pregnancy episode about all things pregnancy and postpartum when I was pregnant. But it was such a difficult pregnancy that I will get into on that episode that I couldn't record the episode. But I'll catch up on that and do a few Q&As and launch the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully in January. That's the plan anyway. I'm not going to do another dad update until something changes more significantly with him, hopefully for the better. But as soon as he's doing better, like I said, you guys will know. The only thing I've really been able to keep up with throughout this period is Peterson Academy, which has been going incredibly well. I'll do a dedicated video on that too, because I haven't gone into details and I'm really proud of what we built. We have 70 courses now, like 8-hour courses. There are a couple of 12-hour courses. There's 1 6-hour course. But we have 70 courses now on the platform. We launched with 18. We launched our mobile app about 3 weeks ago. We hired some more people. The whole team, really, everyone working, is super motivated to provide great education and a community. And they're all really good, hardworking people. We've been working on this more than full time since 2022. And we now have a core group of people that we spent years looking for that are basically 1 in 10,000 rare, maybe more, extremely talented. It's hard to find very talented people. So Peterson Academy is going incredibly well and it's going to continue going incredibly well, Lord willing. Dad's spending his time actually watching the courses now, which is very cool. And he likes them, which is a good thing. As for my content, I'm going to start posting videos, I think, like I said, in January, I hope. And I know I said that last time and plan to, but I've been too stressed out. But things are a bit better now and I miss it, so I'll do my best. I hope you guys are doing well, and I can't thank you enough for the outpour of prayers and messages after the last video. They have been so helpful to me. I don't even have words for how helpful they've been. I know they've helped my mom too. That's really made a difference this year, getting through a whole bunch of health, crazy health things. So thank you guys. Like I said, I can't describe how helpful people reaching out has been, even if I haven't responded. There've been thousands and thousands of messages and it's been really nice. So I will talk to you guys soon. I also have an announcement too that I will put out in a few days that I'm excited about. It's nothing to do with Dad, but something I've been wanting to do for a very long time that I'm going to launch. It's not a product. It's more exciting than a product. Talk to you about that very soon. Bye for now.
Jesus Christ, dude. Launching the first lion diet study. Running a keto and carnivore study. I've eaten only meat for 8 years. Why attraction fades after the pill. All these conservative women hate birth control and they claim that it mind controls you or something. I was being poisoned. How to identify and treat mold illness. It's easier to be sick. Carnivore/keto study, integrative medicine, and the doc associated. Oh my fucking God.
You're probably going to find this surprising. There isn't an ICD code for mold-related illness. There's a code for if you got bit by a turtle, but there isn't a code for if you have mold-related illness.
And also, if you think back...
Is this the new bullshit that I need to be more researched on? My guess is there's probably specific types of illnesses you can get from certain molds, but they don't just have, but these guys are probably, I've heard her talk about this in the past, that there's this like epidemic of black mold that grows in homes that nobody tests for, and it's making America sick. It's like microplastics for your balls, except now it's black mold for your lungs or something.
Over the last like 200 years, there have been decades where people have been exposed to certain chemicals without knowing they were making them sick. So lead, people were putting it on their face and makeup because they didn't know it was making them sick. And it was only banned in gasoline in the 80s because they figured out, oh, we can't even have lead in gasoline because that makes people sick.
This place gives me the creeps.
So people have been exposed to biotoxins repeatedly, but then you grow up and we have AI and you're like, well, we don't have that anymore. Ariana, welcome to my podcast.
Hi, Michaela. Excited to be here.
I am so excited to talk about this. Before we get started, so we're going to cover mold, amongst other things, immune system issues. But I wanted to, and I've done this before in my podcast, like a long time ago, but I wanted to bring you on to talk because I think that this is a like bigger problem for people to know about than diet. I know it's missing in a lot of the biohacking spheres. They're kind of onto it, but it's not a major focus. And I think mold and people's awareness of mold really needs to grow because it's everywhere and it's making a lot of people sick and they're being misdiagnosed with random autoimmune symptoms. So I brought you here to talk about what you're doing and what you went through and what people can do to fix their health. So I guess, can we start off by you just doing a bit of an intro about who you are and what it is you do?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you summarized that super well. So thank you for teeing that up. So hi, Ariana Thacker, founder and CEO of Mold Co. I'm here from a personal health journey. So I started off as a patient first. And prior to starting Mold Co, I was a chemical engineer, also built a venture capital firm, really focused on this intersection of consumer and science. So in a strange way, it felt like so many of these events in my life led up to building Mold Co. And I'm really excited to just drive value for humanity in this way.
So what happened? You were a chemical engineer and did you start a VC?
Yeah, I started a firm called Conscience.
I received my CIRS treatment. Where was it? Through Mold Co. What is CIRS? Chronic Inflammatory Response Syndrome. Always chronic because these things always affect you over a long period of time. Always inflammatory because inflammation is just the broadest fucking thing in the universe. And always syndrome because they have no idea what the fuck is ever causing it. It's the new chronic Lyme disease. The new, what is it, myoencephalitis or whatever? ME. The mold. It's worth saying, too, the question of global beehives failing was solved with fungus as well. The bees could be directly exposed to the relevant pesticides and lab settings and nothing. Never mind. Okay. I don't need to get triggered about this. Destiny. Dr. DX code. Oh, fibromyalgia is what I was thinking. I'm sorry. The ICD-10-CM code Z77.120 is used for contact with and suspected exposure to mold toxic. Effective as of October 1st, 2025. Maybe this was recorded. Maybe they did this research earlier. That's pretty recent, though.
Since VC doing early stage.
Okay. Let's do one zip ahead. Let's see what awesome shit we're talking about.
The holy grail opportunity, but I think it's coming. And now with more national attention on this issue, I think there's going to be a whole crop of founders and entrepreneurs and builders really trying to help humanity in this way. So I'm just really excited about that. And maybe this won't be such an enormous problem where we just want to turn a blind eye and not even address it at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, things are looking a lot more promising than they were 3 years ago. Like you popped up, so now people can get help.
Wait, what is this? Hold on. So grateful for the Shoemaker protocol. I have been suffering from CFS and fibromyalgia, there it is, for 25 years. Michaela is the reason I figured out that CRS was my root cause, and the protocol completely changed my life. Wait, what is the protocol? Oh, shit. How treatment protocols like the Shoemaker approach work in practice.
Search. And that includes lab testing. So we do the Shoemaker biomarkers, which includes the highest signal lab test for immune and inflammatory markers related to SIRS. That includes MMP9, MSH, TGF-beta-1, C4A, VEGF, et cetera. So these are the markers that are consistently off following mold exposure, leading to an inflammatory event. So we have that. We also have the HLA haplotype testing too. As you know, there's a genetic susceptibility impacting 1 in 4 Americans. So we test that with a cheek swab. I love cheek swabs because I was really phobic of needles going into this whole journey.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it is nice. I'm like, okay, the more cheek swabs, the better. And we also have a dust test too. So we're looking for some of those fungal strains in the home and prevalence rates for that. So that's on the lab testing side. And then on the care side, what we've done was translate Dr. Shoemaker's work into what's now a virtual clinic. So we have our protocol following his approach, starting with the cholecystavalin binders instead of cholestyramine for quite a few reasons. The second step is an EDTA and xylitol-based nasal spray to address Marcons in the nasal passages. And the third step is VIP, so vasal intestinal polypeptide. And we label that detox, clear, and repair. So we're guiding these patients.
And detoxing, yes!
BIP, so basal intestinal polypeptide, and we label that detox, clear, and repair. So we're guiding these patients through this journey. There's concierge care where you can ping your specialist at any time. So we have that on the care side, and we've cut the cost there for patients. Our estimates are about a tenth to a hundredth the cost of what they would normally pay going through traditional care for mold-related illness, which, as you know, is pretty hard to access in itself. It often takes months, if not years, to even get off the wait list or even find these specialized providers.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. No, it's incredible. So it's telehealth?
It's
and
all,
you're, where are you available and where are you going to be available?
Yeah. So we're live in 8 states now for care and 46 states for labs. We'll be live.
Oh, nice.
Dr. Shoemaker. I mean, he just sounds trustworthy. How many different scandals and everything do you think will come up if I Wikipedia this guy? Just kidding. Wait, what the fuck is this? Am I having a stroke? Eugene Merle Shoemaker was an American geologist. He co-discovered Comet Shoemaker-Levy 9 with his wife Carolyn S. Shoemaker and David H. Levy. This comet hit Jupiter in July 1994. Sorry, they're talking about this is a comet or whatever. Okay. Jesus. Okay, not this. I'm assuming it's not this guy. Richie Shoemaker. No Wikipedia. Oh, survivingmold.com. Yes. This is not the guy, right? No. Richard Shoemaker, MD. Is a recognized leader in patient care, research, and education pioneer in the field of biotoxin-related illness. What's the difference between a biotoxin and a toxin? Can somebody tell me, besides one just sounding cooler? I got nothing, to be honest. Okay. While illness acquired following exposure to the interior environment of water-damaged buildings comprises the bulk of Shoemaker's daily practice, other illnesses caused by exposure to biologically produced toxins. Oh, that's maybe a biotoxin is a thing that's produced by some organic thing, maybe? Or some creature or fungus? Other illnesses caused by exposure to biologically produced toxins are quite similar in their final common pathway. What this means is that while the illness might begin acutely with exposure to fungi, spirochetes, spirochetes, apicomplexans, dinoflagellates, and cyanobacteria, for example, in its chronic form, each of those illnesses has similar symptoms. Oh, in its chronic form. Ooh, we love chronics around here. Each of those illnesses have similar symptoms, lab findings, and visual contrast sensitivity findings. Taken together, the inflammatory illness from each of these diverse sources is known as a chronic inflammatory response syndrome. The few sentences above might make one think that the path to discovery of the complex abnormalities of innate immune psychology or physiology, now confirmed to be present, was simple. Frankly, none of the players, as one might call, C4A, TGF, beta-1, and MMP9, or the genetic susceptibility from the immune response genes, HLA-DR, was known in 1997. Now that's what I call a cool fucking story, bro. Destiny, have an open mind. I was warned about mold before my NHS doctor gave me my immunosuppressant injections. Well, that sounds like because mold generally shouldn't cause diseases in healthy people. I think mold can cause disease. I don't think anybody doubts that. And I think there are some types of mold that can cause really bad diseases if you are inhaling this stuff for a long period of time. But the idea that, like, I think these people believe that mold is the secret cause of tons of different diseases and everything else is being diagnosed in an incorrect manner and it's actually all related to mold shit or whatever is probably, I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say probably bullshit. Fuck, why am I clicking these? I'm getting bigger.
It is easier to be sick than to be well. As a clinician, I'm day in, day out taking care of people. I want them to feel better. That's something they're doing every day that can meaningfully impact their health. The logical conclusion you come to is, well, start with diet. On the surface, carnivore
meat.
Diet, lion diet, that's a restrictive diet. How can you?
What is the lion diet? Is this like the upgraded version of carnivore? What is the lion diet? Why diet research is rare in medicine.
On the other hand, we have...
Do you think it's going to be because greedy pharmaceutical companies can't make money selling you food? Let's find out.
Because on the other hand, we have so much abundance. We have so much relative comfort. We have so much comfort that I was thinking about this the other day. I'm like, I artificially stress and de-stress myself. You know, I go work out.
I know. Like, I've thought about that too. It's like we have so much that you actually have to go to the gym instead of just having to work.
Instead of just being a part of. And look, I've chosen a particular career and we try to build our lives in a different way. But I made that side of the joke. But yeah, it's like artificially trying to meditate, yoga, whatever practice to down-regulate my nervous system. I'm also trying to train. And we just don't have lives that are is naturally built into the activities and the environments that'll be conducive for health. And so food becomes even more important. And we're reaching the place where just removing gluten or just removing processed foods, it gets people somewhere, but we're dealing with a mess. And so we're actually having to entertain, to me, an elimination diet is, processed foods are a given. Like, I don't even really think of that when I'm formulating a elimination diet. Like, we're now talking about eliminating some whole food.
All processed foods? Every single...
probably has some nutritional benefit in some context, but we're doing it for this purpose, for this individual. And that's crazy to me of, we are that generally sick and dealing with such a burden of metabolic disease or chronic autoimmune inflammatory disease. These things funnel you back to food and you realize, man, there's no money in studying these things because they're not patentable.
There's no money in studying food and diet related stuff. Like, there's not a whole fucking wellness industry that sells billions of dollars worth of products and services to people that think they have these imaginary diseases. Okay, buddy.
We're talking about different kinds of food. But that's what really matters. And that's not the stuff that's getting at any academic institution. You get this is the grants are not for these kinds of things. Like there are people
big pharma doing them grants
in institutional settings. You know, Dr. Terry Walls, give her so much credit for really pushing forward and getting funding. And it's just not being done there. So at the end of the day, it's okay. Well, someone else isn't going to do this. And I think this research is valid and can be done in a rigorous way. Let's give it a shot.
Well, thank you for that. I mean, I guess it does come down to funding. But then back to what you said, it is crazy that we've gotten so sick that there's a subset of people that feel better, I think, eating meat, even though that's removing a bunch of foods that are probably nutritionally beneficial. Like, and I've been one of the people that are like in the carnivore crew. And I've kind of said the whole time, like, if somebody is reactive to lettuce or like greens or carrots, that's not the picture of health. But if that's also causing inflammatory responses, like we need to get to the bottom.
Bruh, if you're reactive to fucking iceberg lettuce, it's time to quit. Something is broken.
Of what that is, because people shouldn't feel better this way. And they are. So it'd be nice to get some background of what's really.
I'm allergic to celery. Most replayed.
Carefully to avoid deficiencies, given how new this diet is and there's no research. Yeah. And it flattened my hormones. My hormones, they were on the same diet for the same amount of time, basically. So it was environmentally caused, which I hadn't even realized at the time could happen. I didn't realize purely your environment could impact your vitamins. But I mean, it seems more obvious now. So the vitamins, and most of them that were depleted were B vitamins. Was it just B vitamins? Yeah, and it flattened my hormones. My hormones were all messed up too.
Fuck.
But that recovered actually pretty quickly given I got pregnant right away. But the vitamins recovered after a period of surgery treatment. Although I still supplement folinic acid. In the last few years, I've had two babies under two, which is so hard on the body. It's so...
Wait, I've had two babies under two. Like she had them back to back, so they're both under the age of two? Is that what she meant? Or
the vitamins recovered after a period of surgery treatment.
Do you normally have babies over the age of two? Or
Although I still supplement folinic acid. In the last few years, I've had two babies under two, which is so hard on the body. It's so hard. And so I've been continuing to monitor vitamins carefully to avoid deficiencies, given how new this diet is and there's no research, et cetera, et cetera. The next big thing, in 2024, I did a gut treatment with Dr. Gabrielle Lyon's team, who I will have on the podcast right away. I did that after I had an anaphylactic reaction to I don't know what, that ended up with me in emergency and on prednisone for about a week. After the prednisone treatment, I had H. pylori. Now, I think I had low levels of H. pylori before, and the prednisone dampened down my immune system, and H. pylori kind of took over, and it was horrible, and I was very desperate, and I could tell I had some sort of stomach infection. So I reached out to Gabrielle Lyon, and I got tested, and I had H. pylori, and I had I can't remember exactly what
the... What is H. pylori? Is this a real thing? Somebody like me?
It was a protozoa parasite, which I was horrified about, and candida, which I was really surprised about because I'd only been eating meat. So how on earth, like, how is it even surviving?
Wait, the video description. Huge news. I can now tolerate some plant foods without arthritis or depression flares. After 8 years of strict ruminant meat only, I have shifted to animal-based/keto, meat plus greens. What is ruminant meat only? Ruminant meat. Ruminant meat comes from hoe-fed mammals with specialized four-chambered stomachs, cattle, sheep, goats, deer, that ferment plant-based diets, known as red meat. Oh, it is... highly nutrient-dense breading, high-quality protein, iron, zinc, and B vitamins. Oh, is ruminant like a fancier way of saying red meat? I'm going to say that from now on. Oh, hoofed. hoofed mammals, not hoof-fed.
So that was interesting. So I treated a bunch of things. I treated the H. pylori. So I bombarded myself with antibiotics, which I'd been avoiding for years, and antiparasitics.
Okay.
And that, within weeks, completely eliminated my remaining
Antibiotics and antiparasitics based, hit it with everything. Okay.
Immune intolerance and any lingering digestive issues. And my digestion, after bombarding myself with the appropriate antibiotics and antiparasitics, my digestion and all my lingering digestive issues fixed themselves.
Oh.
So that, I think, was a huge factor in why I'm able to tolerate more foods now. So SIRS treatment, strict mold avoidance, and parasite treatment. And
SIRS treatment, that's the chronic inflammatory response syndrome. Mold treatment, and avoiding mold, and what was the other
foods
thing?
Now. And so SIRS treatment, strict mold avoidance, and—
gotta avoid that mold, guys.
Parasite treatment.
And treat the parasites always. Unironically, that's your ivermectins.
And I think that's why I can tolerate some more foods. I am now a different human than I was when I started only eating beef out of desperation in December 2017. So now I guess we should get into what didn't work, because I did try a number of things over the years. Obviously, I thought something would click eventually, but I tried a whole bunch of things. Probiotics have never worked for me. Now, maybe now that I'm less reactive, maybe they would be beneficial now. And so in the future, and I'll keep you guys updated, I'll probably try them again.
Okay.
But over the years, I have tried probiotics. I tried them before the meat diet, on the paleo diet. I tried them before dieting at all. I've tried them recently. They do not make me feel good. It doesn't matter if they're low histamine or spore biotics. It doesn't matter. I think if you have a damaged gut, sometimes the wrong probiotic or even the right probiotic, if it's just leaking into your body, it doesn't matter if it's supposed to be healthy. You have to fix the gut barrier first. This is all in theory, but in theory, at least it's logical. Hyperbaric oxygen, no noticeable difference at all. I definitely find it relaxing and I can nap. I have excellent naps in there, so I'm sure it's helpful. I know it's good for healing. Like, there's definitely evidence that that's good for you, but it didn't make a noticeable difference to me to reduce sensitivities. It certainly doesn't hurt, but it just didn't move the needle. IV NAD, felt like being hooked to a battery. I've done over 18 of those treatments. No notice.
The scams. Anytime you see the IV NAD stuff, guys, it's very good for you. You need them to make yourself energized, okay? 18 of them. I bet she's paying $1,000. Probably some bougie fucking clinic that she's paying $1,000 per fucking IV for.
Noticeable difference, and it felt awful. Glutathione also can be helpful to people. I couldn't tolerate this until like 2 weeks ago when I got less reactive. It used to make me feel terrible too, so that never helped, even though my glutathione levels were low. Most vitamins I couldn't tolerate, so those didn't help. What else did I try? I did Ebu for mold, which is a type of blood filtration. Maybe it felt kind of good. I've done tons of ozone. Again, probably a little bit relaxing, but none of it really changed my reactivity. What did move the needle?
What?
So saunas, I've always found beneficial in a noticeable way, although yes. I don't think that actually reduced sensitivities, but it was helpful going through antidepressant withdrawal and living in mold. Okay. So not helpful for like long-term reduced sensitivities, but to mitigate symptoms at the time, noticeable. KPV peptide. So I've gotten more interest in peptides. I tried BPC-157 years and years ago. That made no difference. Like no noticeable difference. The peptides weren't the cure. But KPV, which is supposed to reduce inflammation, I at least noticed made me feel a little bit better. When I was taking BPC-157, I didn't notice anything. It didn't change anything. I was still reactive. But this was before mold. This was before parasite treatment. Okay. So maybe now it would be beneficial. What else? Folinic acid, I think, has made me feel physiologically calm.
Men have clavicular. Women have Michaela Peterson.
Calmer, but it's very minor. So I don't even know if I should really include that in something that moved the needle. Okay. However, folinic acid is something I would actually recommend to people doing the carnivore diet now, especially women who are having babies. DAO enzymes, like I talked about, useful for histamine intolerance. I don't use them anymore because I don't have histamine intolerance anymore, but they got me through severe histamine intolerance due to mold exposure. Parasite treatment. That was a game changer. Treating H. pylori was huge.
Huge.
Now, I had gone to doctors and done parasite testing before. I did that before I got on the beef diet multiple times. I have so much testing done on my body, it's ridiculous. If Brian Johnson didn't exist and the recent biohacking people, I know a couple of them, didn't exist, I wouldn't know anyone who had more testing done than I've had on myself. And nobody ever found anything. So until recently, until I talked to Gabrielle Lyon and she did different tests. So here's what I would recommend for parasite testing. Do a GI map test. It's a certain type of stool test. That shows some things, but it's going to miss like most parasites, but it'll show dysbiosis. So if H. pylori shows up there, treat it with quad therapy antibiotic treatment. I know there's a lot of like, yes. Go to a naturopath, you can naturally treat H. pylori. Maybe that.
One of the most annoying things that I will agree with her here on is if you go and talk to a doctor, people that have been indoctrinated by big pharma and whatever the AMA tells them they have to learn, right? Oftentimes these guys are looking for things called symptoms to see if you have an illness. Sometimes it's better to just run the labs yourself. See if anything is outside of the prescribed reference range, or see if there's the presence of something that you think shouldn't be there because somebody like her told you that, and then buy whatever the fuck you need to cleanse your system of those things. A naturally functioning human body should have zero foreign bacteria, parasite, nothing like that should ever be. It should only be 100% human cells with your own DNA, unless you're pregnant, every time.
That works for some people. That did not work for me. I needed to wallop that with antibiotic treatment, and it with huge difference. And my husband did too. And I don't know who had it first. It's very, very common though. Like we had somebody who works with us who was throwing up after he ate for a number of days, went to emergency, they couldn't find anything in emergency. And he kept having this happen. And he told us some of his symptoms. And I was like, okay, that sounds like H. pylori. He's like burning. I'll get into the symptoms in a sec. He did quad therapy and hasn't had quad therapy, antibiotic treatment, and hasn't had any issues anymore. So this is really common.
Okay. We're done with this. Wait, what is this? Oh, yes. Red meat is something they tell you to avoid now, but wasn't common until recently. I don't think people tell you to completely avoid red meat, just that like you should not eat, like you don't need red meat with every fucking meal. Like there are side effects to red meat, I think related to cancer and maybe other health effects or whatever. But like generally your white meats are turkey and chicken are better for you, have less bad things than red meats. Generally speaking, I believe is the case.
Highlighted, you have states red and blue. $100 million. You get the national numbers that you just highlighted. You have states red and blue who are suffering because the rules were lax and weak, and folks, fraudsters, took advantage of them. But we're on to them, and we're going after not just autism, which is, of course, a heinous way to steal money from the American taxpayer, but you're also going in for home health care that's unnecessary, hospice care. John, California has one third of, forget how, Los Angeles. The city of Los Angeles, the county around it, is one third of all hospice centers in the entire country. Is everyone dying in Los Angeles? These are impossible numbers. The number one, right? This is what we're dealing with.
Why? I don't know how to do this. It's the hypothesis slop. Do some research. What are you the head of? Dr. Oz is the head of the, it's the CDC, right? Or is it FDA? Which one is, I think it's RFK is CDC and he's the head of the, is it CMS? Oh, I thought it was something different. But like, okay, you think that LA or the hospice centers around LA are disproportionately consuming money for hospice stuff. To just say that is a thing that anybody can just say, do some research. Why? What does it mean? Like, all these people come on and they just talk to us about their hypotheses or their ideas, but they've done no research into it. You have access to more information than anybody on the fucking planet when it comes to this shit. You're a member of the current administration. Figure out what's going on. Like, Annette, we'll never hear anything else about this again from one issue to the next. Asmund Slopper.
This, let me see if I can find this. I think this is, let me see, I pulled a Navy, and maybe a Czech Republic Navy. Like, I don't know. I think that, was it them that was going to send?
I don't think they're called the Czech Republic anymore. They're Chechia.
The ship to Iran? I don't know if that was it or not. Yeah. The Czech Republic, the Czech Prime Minister, Andrej Babiš, has decided to dispatch the Czech cruiser, Kirshek, to the Persian Gulf, making the Czech Republic the sole EU nation to join the US-led coalition. People said it's fake. Y'all think it's fake? Is it? I don't know if it's fake. That's a troll.
Hold on.
To join the US-led coalition.
You guys got a navy? We even have a pirate party in parliament. So the canal from Prague to the Baltic Sea is finally finished? Yes, it's finished. Now we can sail to Finland, which is why it's a Finnish canal. Retarded. The account isn't even like a disinformation account. It sounds like it's just a meme account, right? Like, it doesn't seem like this account is posting this to try to like mislead people. It's like a meme, but Asmongold is so fucking retarded. Destiny, it has the Gemini star bottom right of the image. Oh, is that the Gemini AI thing?
You don't say it's fake. Maybe it's not. I don't know if it is or not,
but what does it mean that I thought that it could have been real?
Son, what's the, you don't have a navy? There's a lot of landlocked countries that have navies. It's common.
Name two.
It's not fake. I don't know if it is or not. But it's possible for sure.
On to the next clip. Hell yeah.
Would you say that it-
Matt Taibbi squirms.
Brendan Carr. We do have to mention that Brendan Carr re-injected himself.
How far are you from? He messaged me this morning.
Into the news, the FCC thing. And look, at this point, and this is one of the things I was wrong about. Like I thought my impression of Trump on speech was not that he was a civil libertarian or that he grew up worshiping the ACLU or anything like that, but that he just didn't give a shit about it as much. And the last year has been kind of a, you know, it's been a little bit of a surprise to me how much they're following in the footsteps of the shit that they criticized.
I don't know. They openly.
Didn't Donald Trump say your citizenship should be revoked for burning the flag in the Republican primaries? Donald Trump says revoke citizenship, flag burning, primary. No, I shouldn't say primary. How long ago did he say that? November 29th, 2016. I feel like he said this before. I feel like he said this even before he got elected. I could be wrong. But like, he's been saying this shit for a long fucking time. And then by the second term, you should know that this guy fucking hates free speech. Like, by the second term, how could you possibly be surprised?
I don't know. I know RFK would have had you believe otherwise, or would have dissembled. Would have dissembled. Yeah, or Tulsi.
Or Jay Bhattacharya.
I'm not sure. Quite so sure about him in terms of what I'm about to say right now, which is that they would have told you that by voting to restore Republican executive power, you were voting to restore free speech, which to me was always a joke. In part because Trump and the Republicans were openly campaigning on drastically stymieing speech when it came to speech critical of Israel. Okay, so that's a canary in the coal mine.
Did they say that exactly?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'll give you a million examples where they were calling. I mean, they campaigned on power.
The anti-Semitism.
Anti-Semitism stuff. They campaigned specifically on using the power of the state to limit and punish speech that they deemed excessively critical of Israel and or anti-Semitic, right?
Well, so, they expanded that Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, which I did write quickly about at the time. I never thought it was as comprehensive. Like the shit.
What is the equivalent on the left? Why do Republicans get this reputation? Well, you know, I thought they'd kind of be more supportive of free speech. Then who? Then the left? What did the left do that you don't like? And it can't be a fucking Twitter account. What did they do? What is the comparison? I don't know why Republicans get to have all these great reputations around things that they've never done. Like when it comes to the debt of the deficit, they've been horrible on this for fucking decades, for like three fucking decades, and they're still seen as the party of responsible spending. What the fuck?
That goes into something like the Digital Services Act and, you know, the Online Safety Act in the UK, the laws in New Zealand, Australia. There's an underlying idea about all speech that is different from, I thought, different from what the Republicans would be up to.
You know, like one of the things that was algorithmically would have been at the top of the ESPN leaderboard, it was RFK Jr. for a long time. And RFK Jr. was the one who confected this whole mythology around, first of all, what he represented and what he was subsuming into the Trump operation once they merged. And so, you had stuff like, yeah, Trump is the champion of free speech because I'm the champion of free speech, and we're going to work together in this Avenger squad with Tulsi and Elon and Joe Rogan to restore free speech. And it was just like a total canard. And like, at some point, people go back and watch the speeches that RFK delivers on behalf of Trump.
No, I know. I mean, I was there for some of them.
I mean, it's just, it's I just don't understand.
I just didn't believe it at all because Joe Rogan didn't tell me this.
I feel like there ought to be, look, I'm not trying to be vindictive. I just feel like if you were part, not you personally, but if one was part of creating the impression to a mass audience that what RFK was describing in terms of the nature of whatever that new coalition was, if you were giving people the impression that that was like at all tethered in reality, that there should be some kind of reckoning done. Just like after the 2016 election, I was trying to get, I launched what I call the Pundit Accountability Project with all these crazed liberal pundits who like Jamel Bowie, who of course got promoted afterwards when he should have been demoted. But he would say, look, like he wrote a column saying there's a better chance that an asteroid will strike Earth than Donald Trump will win the election.
Well, yeah. Remember 538.com saying that there's a better chance that Trump will play in the NBA than win the nomination.
Or Ryan Grimm famously said,
I don't know anything about his free speech stuff, but do you remember when the liberals thought that Donald Trump was I hate these motherfuckers so much. God, I hate these motherfuckers so much. It's okay. CNN.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you look at the polling data and there are numbers that just jump off the screen at you. And this is one of those. Because just take a look here. MAGA GOP view of Trump. Approve. 100%, 100%. If you are a member of MAGA in the GOP, you approve of Donald John Trump. 0% say that they disapprove. You don't have to be a mathematical genius to know you can't go higher than 100%. He is the 1972 Miami Dolphins.
Well, how do you define yourself as MAGA GOP? Like, I imagine if you're MAGA, you're, I mean, 100% is high, but like, if you don't identify as MAGA, then it's 66% approval. Oh, okay. You want to know who is somewhat funny? I will die on this hill. Was my queen, Hillary Clinton, okay? If she would have ran in 2024 last year, she would have gone on the podcast because she's a fucking, she's a warrior, all right?
Where is he? Where's Zach? What? Oh.
She was my queen.
She's trying to scare her. It's just, I'm not getting a Halloween spirit of it all.
Not a good idea around the Secret Service. Are you okay?
I'm fine. Okay. Just let's start.
Hi, welcome to another edition of Between Two Ferns. I'm your host, Zach Galifianakis, and my guest today is Hillary Clinton. Thank you very much, Mrs. Clinton, for being here. Critics have questioned some of your decision-making recently. And by you doing this show, I hope it finally lays that to rest.
Oh, I think it absolutely proves their case, don't you?
Are you excited to be the first girl president?
Well, I mean, being president would be such an extraordinary honor and responsibility. But being the first woman elected president and what that would mean for our country, and particularly what that would mean for, you know, not just little girls, little boys, too, that's pretty special.
Mm-hmm. Not to take away from the historic significance of you perhaps becoming the first female president, but for a younger generation, you will also become their first white president. And that's pretty neat too.
Okay, sorry. That was a good show. That hit that Between Two Ferns in general, not just hers, but